It's time for another episode of Rainmaker for Contractors. Interviews and success stories with million-dollar-plus basement waterproofing and foundation repair owners. Discover how they market and grow their companies in today's economy. Hear directly from the most successful leaders in your industry. With your host and Rainmaker for Contractors owner, Bill Crawford.
Welcome, everybody, to Rainmaker for Contractors podcast. Today, we have an amazing guest to join us, Hugo D'Esposito. So excited that he's joined us. Hugo, how are you today?
I'm great, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, let me give you a quick intro, and you could fill in the gaps if I skip
sure.
anything, right? Sweet. So you started in 1993, the other century, doing residential waterproofing and also serving businesses, just high quality waterproofing. Before this, you did landscape design, build type stuff, right? And this was kind of a transition. But you got into, pretty early on, you got into a closed drainage system, from what I understand. I'd love to hear more about that, where there's just like a complete integration of everything to make the get the job done right? And let's see, you're serving the New York metro area, different kind of audience and crowd out there.
Right.
Midwest, all right. And you have 12 consecutive Basement Health Awards, Star Awards.
Star Awards.
Which is pretty cool. And I gotta say something early on. You know, you and I have known us for over, we've known each other for over a decade. And I think we were in a meeting for the Basement Health Association probably 6 years ago. And somehow it came out that you don't have one negative review on the internet. Honestly, I didn't believe you. I'm like, dude, I'll find one. And you really didn't. And that is really hard to accomplish. So congratulations
yeah.
to you. I don't know
Thank
if
you.
It's still a thing.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's impressive. Am I missing anything? Like what can you tell me what services you're doing now? And anything else that I might have missed in the intro?
Sure. So we are a foundation waterproofing and drainage contractor, and we do building facade restoration, some pump maintenance and diagnostic, water diagnostics, and egress. That's the crux of our business. I'm sure I'm leaving a lot out, but
those are the main topics.
Sure. Yeah.
So let me, if I could, just start right into this. You're saying a closed drainage system. So what is it and why is that? Why should the homeowner care that you offer a closed drainage system?
You know, this is a long story and I'm going to try to make it as short as possible. You know, I started my business and a couple of years later, I found the National Association of Waterproofing Contractors, which turned into the Basement Health Association. And a lot of the guys that would come up and speak, one guy in particular, I'm going to name him, Mike Trotter, would talk about the conditions in the soil and how they came up through the house or a stacking effect. And he would talk about the fact that we put these drainage systems in and we leave an open gap to allow water to get in from the walls. And what we're doing is we're raising the humidity in the house. So as a basement waterproofing contractor, whether you know it or not, I'm coming into your house to not only resolve the occasional water that you get in the house, but the moisture that you get 365 days a year. So by sealing up the system and doing our best to prevent water from coming through the walls, we're closing the system and we're preventing moisture from coming through the system.
Okay. And the homeowner benefits from a closed drainage system because, is it healthier?
It is healthier. I'm going to go one step further. From 1947 to 1988, there was a product on the market called Chlordane. This was an insecticide, more of a termite aside. They used it a lot for controlling termites, lawn insects. It's been proven that the material not only is it cancer causing, but it stays within the soil. And, you know, with my background, not only as a landscaper, but my dad had a nursery. The product had a very distinct smell, something that you would never forget. And sometimes we're digging in the soil, we're digging outside a house, we're putting in a dry well. I pick up that smell that I remember from back in the 80s, you know?
Sure, sure.
So, you know, we know it's there, and I don't want to see a system go in and perhaps bring that product back into the house. Yeah. So there are quite a few benefits to a closed drainage system.
That's awesome. Great explanation.
And thank you.
Good application. Yeah. All right. So let me get back to these, like, no negative reviews. Like, I don't know what you're doing over there, but can you tell me, are there, I've studied businesses for a while. I got to think there's some kind of value system at your company. It's not just like, hey, do A, B, and C, and we'll have outstanding, you know, customer reviews all over the internet. I think there's some kind of a value system, and I think there's probably really well-developed habits and routines with your staff to really, you know, over deliver and wow customers. Can you comment on how you get so many reviews and high quality ones?
I think it starts with the guys that I have. I'm blessed to have me a long time, and they know when we're out there that they're going to treat the home as if it was their house. This year, we've done a lot of meetings. We've actually bought a tent that we set up outside. And it's funny because people pull up thinking it's a testing facility, but,
no, you can say a restaurant because around here, restaurants are closed, right. But you can meet in the tent.
But we're out there and we're talking and, what they do and how they handle it. We treat the home as if it was the customer's home. Yeah.
Yes. Awesome. Yeah. All right, and then with high customer reviews, the companies that get great reviews, they have great communication. Like, is there anything different that you're doing communication wise with homeowners so that maybe they're comfortable with you, or you avoid problems? You know.
Yeah, the system of customer reminders that we're sending out not only reminds the customer that we're coming to their home, either to do an estimate, to do an inspection, or do a job. But it keeps them well informed, the services that we offer. And, you know, when I show up I do a lot of sales myself. When I show up, customers are impressed with that. They're impressed with the contact that we have with them.
Nice.
And we take that right through not only the job, but after the job to find out, hey, how are they doing? How is their basement? Is it what we promised?
Okay. That makes, you know, it reminds me of, my relationship with my dentist. Like, I always get these reminders like a month in advance. Hey, you know, schedule this online or call us. And then I get the day before and all that kind of stuff. So
Bill, I think they were the first ones to get into it. Yeah.
I really like that.
Yeah,
I got off. Somehow I disconnected with that system of my dentist because I'm overdue now. And so I'm waiting for a notification.
Well, and to add to that, I mean, I was always impressed that he would call me after just to find out how I'm feeling or what's going on. So we've incorporated that into how we do it.
Oh, that's sweet. That's great communication. That's handholding. Yeah. You know, it's a big investment. So why not go above and beyond?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Here's the core value, because it's the right thing to do. Right. It's not like, ooh, I'll get something out of it. It's just like, hey, these people are entrusting us with their business, with their money. We're going to do a good job. We're going to do the right thing. If I see them on the street, I'm not going to run to the other side and go, oh, no, we did that customer job. You know, I'm going to stop and check and see how they're doing. So it's a beautiful thing. You know, all right. So let me go to this. So I met you through the Basement Health Association, and I always respect business owners that give back to their community and their industry. And so I know that you are the education chair, as you have been, for the Basement Health Association. That's the association that governs our industry. And I know part of your job has been to handpick the speakers, to screen them, to kind of, you want to pick the right ones where the pulse of the industry is going.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
It's
yes.
a lot, right?
Yeah, it is a lot.
It's a lot of free and it's volunteer. I mean, you're not getting paid for it and you don't get much fame or fanfare for it. So, you know, I respect that. And so
you're actually talking me out of it right now.
Okay. Well, it doesn't take you that long. Right? So nice job with that. And I appreciate you giving back to the community. Hey, in regards to, I know you do a lot of online advertising. I'm curious what other forms of advertising you use to reach customers in that New York metro area outside of, say, the internet.
You know, we've gotten so far away from print ads, but there are areas such as church bulletins that I find work. We send out flyers in the local phone books on occasion. Lawn signs, getting our name in front of the neighbors is important. We used to knock on doors. You know, if we were doing a job in an area, we'd go five houses in one direction, five houses in another, and then 10 across the street. But with the COVID right now, nobody wants you walking up their walk.
Sure.
Yeah. So, I would say lawn signs is if you're not using lawn signs, you have to try it. It does get your name out there.
All right. So, you
but
know,
with one thing I just have to add, you have to watch where you're putting signs and if the town allows it, because certain towns do not allow it.
Well, let me, if I could, put a context around that. So I hosted a conference a few years back and I knew you did well with what we call it sign in the yard.
Right.
And you were the first speaker of the conference and you talked about how when you're doing a job, you put a sign in the yard and people are walking their dog and they know the people that live there and they're like, oh, wow, who did your, and a lot of times if a basement's broken in one area on the street, you know, the next three houses down are as well and people trust neighbors. And yeah, so you're kind of saying like you would put the sign in the yard and then when you did, you'd knock on doors saying like, hey, if we're being too loud or it gets messy, please let us know there's a number and you know, we're providing free estimates. So you're not knocking on doors. But you're on the sign in the yard.
Yeah. It's difficult to knock on everyone's door, especially myself or another inspector. And the last thing I want is my crews walking around a neighborhood.
Right.
Yeah. But having a sign out is a good thing. It's grassroots. I'm not in favor of those. We call them bandit signs where they're on the highway and, you know, they just look like trash or political signs.
The ones like on the corner everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
These are different. They're someone's yard. And they approved it to put it in there.
We, you know, generally when we start the job, we put the sign out, we ask the homeowner and normally they don't have any objections to that.
Nice.
Yeah.
I remember something you said for the conference. You said our number one lead source in December was sign in the yard.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty, you know, one, it's like a very inexpensive lead. Especially if you're talking about like versus Google AdWords. And then two, it's like it's almost like a referral lead. In fact, I think a lot of them almost are referrals because they know the people, right?
Well, we have that grouped in with saw our truck. So they might say that they saw the truck or saw our sign, up, you know, or working for the neighbor.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Well, in light of our pandemic, it's probably a big topic here, but what kind of modifications have you made with the COVID era that we're in?
Wow. That's,
where do you start, right?
That's a great question. And, getting everyone to wear masks, we've had to hire someone to come in every single morning and do a temperature check on people.
Wow.
So that's a big thing, but we kind of struggled over the summer when it was getting to 90 degrees and the guys are digging outside and that mask is just falling down off their face. You know, as soon as people saw that, they got alarmed or upset about it. So we had to do training on it and instill it in our guys that this is important. And you know, not only for our customers, but for themselves. you know, we've restricted areas that guys can go in. You know, there was a point where we could only have two guys in a certain area, separating them as much as possible. And we've also, I've had to sanitize houses. People are were that concerned. I mean, wow. You know, especially elderly people.
New York's not like, say, Florida or Texas, huh? Like, you shut down?
It's a big difference. Big difference.
I think 2 months last year you were closed.
We were closed March and April, yes.
Yeah. Wow. So
April and May, and we started in June. I think we started back on June 8th.
Wow. I think there were big fines for having your truck on the highway.
Well, I mean, they called it essential workers, and we were classified as essential workers. But I just, at that point, my family was more important to me than going out and
making a buck.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Hey, speaking of workers, do you, some waterproofers like to subcontract out their work. Do you have employees or subcontractors?
They're all employees.
They're all employees.
We don't use subcontractors.
Nice.
Except an electrician or occasional plumber.
Sure. Yeah. Some specialty thing, one-off.
Yeah.
Got it. Do you do anything to help those, employees in the back, kind of like the hardworking, underappreciated workers? Do you do anything to kind of help them feel they're maybe equal and part of the team?
Other than a pat on the back? Yes.
Sometimes it goes a long way.
Yes. You know what? Having these meetings and talking about the jobs that they do is very important to them because they put a lot into it. I can't see all the great things that they do, but I see it in the end. I see it in the reviews. I see when a job goes in and I'll pick up the phone and call them and say, hey, you know, this job came out great. And I know it was a tricky job. So that goes a long way.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Hey, how did you come across the name AM Shield? Like, what's up with that?
This goes back to the 80s when, it started in the 80s when I was running a landscaping business and I was working for a large residential landlord who owned a lot of property. His name was Jerry Goodman. I have to mention his name. He's not with us anymore. And I was doing a structural repair job on his building. And he said, Hugo, you have to come up with a name because I have to go to my tenant and tell him that this company is doing it. And he told me that I should have two initials and a name after that.
Really?
Yeah. And I remember the date he did it because the next day my daughters were born and it was Alexandra and Melissa, which is where I got the AM from. And the shield just came out of a logo that I saw on my father's truck at one time back when he had his nursery. So I combined the two.
I never knew that.
Yeah, it's a great story. And cool. You want to know something? He was a mentor because goes back to the days before cell phones and before I had an office when you hear the answering machine and spend the night returning the calls to the customers. And I would spend hours on the phone with him, and he would give me business advice. And he was a great mentor. And about 5 years ago, I ran into his daughter. And I told her this story, and she had a tear in her eye listening to it because he was a great man. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Hey, let's say I'm a new owner in the basic waterproofing industry. You know, maybe I've been selling for another company. Maybe I've been like the head foreman or production manager. I opened my own business. I'm a 2-year-old company. I'd love to be in your shoes. Do you have any advice for a guy in that position?
Yeah.
How do I get to your size?
When I started my business, there wasn't as many waterproofers, and I had to do something to set myself apart. So I joined the NAWSRC, and I picked up so much from the education process. And I think that's why I give back to the association now. But more so meeting the people and hearing from guys that have been in the business for a long time. I just helped out a contractor in Pennsylvania who was having a problem on a job. And we tried to work it out, and I think he's doing all right now with this particular problem. So there's a lot to be said for the fellowship that's involved in these associations.
Okay.
So, and it sets you apart.
Yes.
Yeah.
So get involved with the Basement Health Association.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love that you mentioned, you know, Jerry is a mentor, because I know there's a lot of people that have been around. They're, you know, helpful and generous. And there's so many, you know, quite honestly, we learn from our mistakes. And,
sure.
We share those, and it's a beautiful industry. So,
yeah. Yeah.
Hey, another, you know, I come across a lot of basement waterproofers, and they sometimes feel like a slave to their company. They're running around with their head cut off. You have a unique model in that you're the owner, yet you have a general manager to deal with kind of the day in, day out operations kind of stuff. And that positions you to be in the field, which I think you love being in front of the customer, right? You're such a people oriented.
I love it. I love it.
Say more about that. Like, what do you get? I mean, first of all, it had to be intentional, because it's very difficult to do. Like, that's the dream of owning your own business, but then kind of being able to pick the position that you thrive in the best, that you're good at. And then what does that do for you to be able to be in front of the customer?
Well, you know, it's not only being in front of the customer, it's being in front of my crews, showing up on the jobs. I know that they're going to be at the house at 8:30. So my mornings are usually spent going to the first job, usually when a job starts. And then I start my first appointment around 10 in the morning. But I just love to be in front of people and talk to people and help them with their problems. Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Must be rewarding.
It is. And Michael does a great job in at his job. So I'm comfortable that everything's going on in the office that I don't have to deal with. Listen, you know, my phone rings all the time, and I'm putting out fires and dealing with problems. But it's nice to know that I have good help with my office staff.
It seems like you're doing what you love.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I've always said it.
That's awesome.
I love what I do.
Way to go.
Happy. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have any last tips for basement waterproofing or foundation repair owner out there?
Join the BHA.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, Hugo, thank you so much for joining us today. I love the nuggets of wisdom you shared. I think there's some great content here. I hope many people can benefit from it.
Thank you, Bill. It was nice being here.
Thanks, Hugo.
Yeah. Okay.
Talk to you soon.
Good deal.
You've been listening to the Rainmaker for Contractors podcast, where basement waterproofing and foundation repair business owners and industry experts share marketing and sales information that helps you reach more customers. Please leave us a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform, and get all of our show notes at rainmakerforcontractors.com/podcast.